The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandal on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you and have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling to the world himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. This Lenten season, we have been reading the gospel through the lens of creation and eco-justice. And on one hand, it is an easy lesson, because identifying the sin is an incredibly easy step. Humanity has pillaged the natural world of its resources, destroys forests and ecosystems and natural habitats of many of the Earth's plants, forests, ecosystems, and insects. And in the process has unleashed an unstoppable wave of diseases and viruses, which even if it were checked today, would have ripple effects affecting generations to come. Our plastic pollution has gotten so bad that scientists are now finding microplastics in human blood. And production of plastic is expected to double by 2050. And the benefits of this exploitation of the Earth's abundance benefit only those of us in developed nations with sizable militaries at the expense of developing nations and impoverished nations. It is much, much more work to deny this sin than it is to acknowledge it. On the other hand, the difficult question before us is, how do we begin to repent? What steps could we take to break the cycle of injustice and transform our life in a meaningful way that would bring about a more equitable and balanced world? The prodigal son, upon realizing the futility of trying to make it on his own, returned to his home in time to be forgiven and set things right. A terrifying truth for us is that if we put off repentance too long, there may not be a home to return to. For God gave us a very good earth on which to dwell, and we only have one. And it was created with abundant resources, able to provide for every living creature indefinitely. And we are destroying it. And while this destruction is harming poor populations thousands of miles away, first, even the top 1% of this nation needs clean air to breathe and water to drink. No one will escape the consequences. This is the second time in my young career as a pastor that I get to talk about the prodigal son. And I tell you, when not preaching about eco-justice, I have a soft spot for this so-called errant son. Because though he was young and arrogant and foolish, he was brave. In breaking with his father and his family's expectations and the honor codes of his social world, he abandoned the safety net of the life already mapped out for him and ventured out into the world in search of something better. And he failed. Colossally. Was he a bad person? I don't think so, because making mistakes does not negate our worth, and all of us, thank God, are worth much more than the worst thing that we've ever done. And I doubt it was ever his intention to squander all of his inheritance so quickly. Like any young fool, he neglected to balance his checkbook, and it all got away from him faster than he realized. His father, welcoming him home, did not even let him apologize, but embraced him and showered him with gifts and gave him a seat of honor. Even in this context of eco-justice, I think we can still have a spot for this guy, provided we don't make excuses for him and perhaps get away from this brave title. And I hope you know I'm about to drift into analogy when I talk about the prodigal son, because I'm talking about us. And because I get tired of saying prodigal son, I'm going to give him a name. Let's call him Sam. And we are Sam. And like Sam, we perceive excess and indulgence and consumption as a pleasurable higher form of life, a way of living to aspire to. Our heroes, highly paid athletes and entertainers, young billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg and visionaries like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates have set the standard for what we culturally perceive as success. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And my high school history teacher, not a fan of Thomas Jefferson, taught that he had initially pushed to have it read life, liberty, and property for free white educated men like himself, of course. And this pursuit of excess is not only normal for us, it's downright patriotic. It has been imprinted on our identities from birth, as has the line that we have more because we have been blessed with more. And let me be clear, excesses are not blessings, or at least they are not ours and ours alone. Through our systemic and cultural quest for more, by our societal definition of happiness, demanding always more convenience, more speed, more power, we have pillaged the earth and have squandered our inheritance through dissolute living for many generations, and it is simply not sustainable. Whether it is in our lifetime or in our children's, we will soon and very soon face the consequences of this way of life. And while there are many passionate, environmentally conscious actors in our system, brilliantly working hard to create green energy and reduce our dependency on fossil fuels, putting their spiritual gifts to work for the benefit of all of us and our children, most of our political leaders of all parties are motivated by a desire for economic growth above all else. More, more, more. All at the expense of the natural world and with no regard for future generations. We dismiss the contributions of green actors and ridicule them, calling them names and mocking their efforts. And people of God, this is not sustainable. Like young Sam, we will also find ourselves eventually hungering for the home that we abandoned, and we will mourn the loss of our squandered inheritance. There are many things that once used up can never come back. Many species of animals and plants, members of this delicate ecosystem, face extinction and the loss of their homes, unregulated poaching, and the poisoning of their water and food supplies. This is the evidence of our sin, our unfaithfulness as stewards of God's good and very good creation. We take our first step toward home when we confess our sin before our Creator, when we reject the world's pursuit of excess in favor of sustainable living and an equitable distribution of the earth's resources for all of life to enjoy. And we will be forgiven. Our needs will be met. God will clothe us in splendor more beautiful than the robes of Solomon. This is the good news of the story. When we turn away from the world's excesses and greeds and selfish pursuits, we are met with a fountain of love and grace. This is the joyous option for responsible and sustainable living, abandoning our excesses, rejecting our fear of scarcity, and trusting in God's abundance. This beautiful and abundant planet on which we live, this creation we were commanded to care for from the very beginning, is able to take care of all life above and beneath its surface. It is remarkably complex and interdependent on every microcosm of its makeup. The genius of its balance is the evidence of God's capacity and desire for good and abundant life for all creatures, great and small. And what an enormous gift of love that God would entrust humanity to its care. This is not an easy task. Our normal way of life, defined by this reckless pursuit of more, has blinded us from seeing the power of splendid humility, which would empower us to fully trust in our Creator to take care of our needs. On a collective level, if our entire culture embraced this joyous option, we would have to accept rather large economic losses. We would have to sacrifice many of the comforts and conveniences coupled with our way of living, but it is these things for which we must repent. By our dissolute living, we have been playing the role of Sam, selfishly withholding the bounties of the earth from impoverished nations and squandering our inheritance in a way that disrupts God's good and very good creation. We simply cannot continue looking the other way and pretending that the earth is not in crisis or that humanity has nothing to do with it. This is our responsibility. By our faith, we are living testaments to the hope and trust in our Father, living and reigning within, around, and above us. Our Creator works most readily through the cycle of death and resurrection, renewing us each and every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, created to be mirrors of God's goodness and generosity, have the power to be heralds of these spiritual gifts, to proclaim the new creation promised to us upon repentance of sin and reconciliation, submitting our weaknesses and vulnerabilities and fears before the one with the power of transformation to be living models of creation. We have been called to be instruments of justice in all our relationships, including our relationship with creation, in pursuit of balance and equity for the benefit of all who live on it. I invite you to listen to the words of St. Francis in the Canticle of the Creatures and hold these words in your heart this week. Most high, all-powerful, good Lord, yours are the praises, the glory, and the honor, and all blessing. You alone, most high, do they belong, and no human is worthy to mention your name. Praise be to you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially Sir Brother Sun, who is the day, and through whom you give us light. And he is beautiful and radiant with great splendor, and bears a likeness of you, most high one. Praise be you, my Lord. Through Sister Moon and the stars in heaven, you formed them clear and precious and beautiful. Praised be you, my Lord, through Brother Wind and through the air, cloudy and serene in every kind of weather, through whom you give sustenance to your creatures. Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, who is very useful and humble and precious and chaste. Praise be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night sky. And he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us and who produces various fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Praise be you, my Lord, through those who you give pardon for your love and bear infirmity and tribulation. Blessed are those who endure in peace by you, Most High, shall they be crowned. Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister bodily death, from whom no living thing can escape. And woe to those who die in mortal sin. Blessed are those whom death will find in your most holy will, for the second death shall do them no harm. Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility. Amen.